Long-time listener.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John. Tom Brady is currently operating under the assumption that he will not be in New England next year. That he will be a free agent quarterback playing in another city. A source tells ESPN, Tom Brady open to a new home in free agency. Jeff Darlington. I guess sources said that the expectation is he's not going to be back in New England.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, but that is one of the big headlines coming out today. But I feel like we've been getting that story for the last couple weeks, right? That the Patriots are, hey, we're really serious. We're not giving you all that money. And Tom Brady's like, okay, well, I'm not going to stay. We'll still see what happens, but ultimately... another day, another story, and Jeff Darlington is apparently one of the go-to guys on New England, so he's doubling down.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something else that said pretty explicitly just Tom Brady would not return to New England. Strong buzz won't return, and that was from BuzzFeed, so that who cares about that. The world's oldest man has died in Japan at 112, which seems lower than it used to be. I feel like we used to get these stories and the world's oldest man would hit like 118, 119.
Well, the oldest person is usually a woman, so is it just man?
Oh, that's a good point, Cam. It could be. It's a very good point because women tend to outlive men. I don't know about that. You're probably right, though. The world's oldest woman's probably still alive. So, the world's oldest man has died in Japan, though, at 112. Japanese citizen Chitetsu Watanabe, aged 112, poses next to calligraphy reading. I guess he did some calligraphy. He looked okay for 112. Born in 1907. Could you imagine?
Being born in 1907?
You're 33 when World War II starts. He was older than any of us in this room when World War II started. That's insane.
He was what, 5 when the Titanic sank?
Yeah.
All right, was that 1912?
I believe so, yeah. Ray was right in there somewhere.
I thought it was 1912.
12, 13, somewhere, 14, somewhere. It was right in there. You're pretty close.
Saw World War One all the way through. And then he had to go, oh, God, here we go again. Not again. Not another World War.
Titanic sank in 1912.
Nice. Feels nice to get those right every now and then. Been really unsure of myself lately. It feels good to realize I haven't lost all of my memory.
The guy was 61 when Gimme Shelter came out.
Wow. I bet he heard that. Like, music just ain't as good as it used to be. Yeah,
this sure is. I don't know. I would say Sinatra, but he's even older than that. What, like some early jazz in the 20s, whoever those guys were.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, this guy would have been... Oh, my God. He would have been 94 when 9/11 happened. That's so old. Anyway, moving along. He's dead now. Facebook is banning ads with false claims about the new coronavirus. So Facebook, I told you a couple days ago, you know, they're not going to do anything about the disinformation in the elections. But they did say yesterday that they will ban ads making false claims about products tied to the new coronavirus. The social network said it is removing ads that feature a product and imply a limited supply, seeking to create a sense of urgency in their mention of coronavirus. Ads that guarantee a cure or prevention are also banned, it said. Apparently, there are some ads out there for face masks claiming that the products are 100% guaranteed to prevent the spread of the virus. The company, Facebook, said they're not going to allow those ads to run.
Okay.
There are some really, 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 really stupid people out there. And if you were a deceitful person, you could probably make a lot of money doing that kind of stuff on Facebook.
Just scamming people?
Yeah. Because there are a lot of people that would buy that. Gullible people. Which is kind of sad. Quite, you know, honestly. Kind of sad.
Sure.
I think it's true, though, don't you?
You got any more headlines?
Yeah. I've got some other headlines.
What you got?
Okay. I'm the best player in the draft, says Chase Young from Ohio State.
Okay. Is it just one of those things where he went on to be like, hey, of course I'm going to believe in myself. Everyone has to believe in themselves. We have to have that confidence. Or is he just flat out saying, no, I'm better than everybody? Those are always important, right? You got to differentiate. Like every now and then someone's like, I say I'm the best. And then they'll go on and be like, well, of course I think I am. I'm a competitor. You got to have that mentality. But every now and then some people are just like, no, I'm the best. No one does it better than me.
Yeah, his was... That first day at training camp, when I step on the field, I want to be the best player I can be.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste time trying to be a combine athlete. I need to know if I put my best foot forward trying to be the best player I can be. Yeah, it's more of those, one of those kind of deals, I think. I definitely think I'm the best player in the draft. I think I showed on my tape. You can look at every game. I think I showed that. I put my best foot forward this year. I think I bring a lot to the table. I'm the whole package as a defensive end.
Well, that was a little bit more confident there.
Yeah, I guess so. I do really like the guys, though, that talk and can back it up.
Sure.
Like, that's my favorite kind of athlete.
Yeah, mine too.
Like, when you have a guy come out and just say, I'm the best. There's nobody better than me.
No one is better.
And that guy backs it up. That's one of the coolest things.
Whoa. All right. I'm excited to see the combine. It gets started tonight. We'll see if there's any big risers, any big fallers. But we know Chase Young isn't really going to do much in the combine. His status is already pretty much cemented.
Indeed it is. The LA Bowl officially announced yesterday it is debuting the next college football bowl season, one of three new bowls in 2020. It will pit the first selection from the Mountain West against number 5 out of the Pac-12. It'll be played at the
number new... one Mountain West, number 5 Pac-12?
Yep, and it'll be played at the new stadium, SoFi Stadium in L.A.
That's the new L.A. place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you could get like a Boise State, Washington State, something like that.
Might be USC down at number 5.
It could be USC. Tune in for a Boise State-USC game.
Yeah.
Man, that's some disrespect to the Mountain West, though. Like
it kind of is, but they're going to get to go to L.A. It's going to probably be a good bowl game. So, I mean, like they – and quite frankly, they should win those games, right? Like, I mean, I'll most likely take the Mountain West team in those every year.
And maybe, like, Boise gets into the New Year 6 or something, too.
So maybe it's like the second Mountain West team. Yeah, and maybe that changes the math a little bit on who you take. But I feel like the best Mountain West team is usually better than the fifth best Pac-12 team.
I agree.
Where are the other two bowl games? Do you have those? There's a new Las Vegas one coming too, right, or no?
Yeah, there is. That's going to be an SEC Pac-12 game, right?
I thought so, but I didn't know if that was official or not. I knew that was the rumor, but I didn't know if you had it in front of you.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okie doke.
Maybe I can find it, though.
Again, not that important. Is that all your headlines?
No.
Okay.
The give me just one second here. I was trying to find something there, and now I got to go back to where I was at.
You having a good day?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, stall for me.
I did get that the coaches thing.
Do you have the answer? Do we know if a $5 million coach has ever missed the NIT?
So, there's only like two others making $5 million right now. It's like Coach K and Cal.
Okay.
Cal has only ever missed the NIT in his first year at UMass.
He was not making $5 million
at
that point.
Yeah, he was not then. And Coach K has only ever missed it in 82, 83, 81, 82.
And he was not making $5
million
there.
Yeah, and 94, 95, where he only coached the first 12 games of the season.
So do we have any numbers on like the highest paid coach that's missed the NIT? Did you find any of that or no?
I did not.
Okay.
I was just kind of going through the coaches.
Who are the highest paid coaches right now, I guess?
That's actually was really hard to find for some reason. Like I was trying to search like the current and I kept getting like last year's numbers.
Maybe USA Today usually puts it out at the end of the year, I think. But
yeah,
last year
it was difficult. But,
I mean, there's been some high dollar coaches struggle. Like Shaka, I don't know. Shaka hasn't missed the NIT yet, has he? At Texas, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Tony Bennett had only missed it in his first couple years at Virginia.
Archie Miller's getting a lot of money in Indiana, and I think he struggled his first year.
The top coaches last year.
West Virginia was pretty bad last year. Okay. So we might be in uncharted territory here.
Yeah, if you miss the NIT.
Although Roy Williams is going to be right there with us, so they're not going to make the NIT either, so they'll be right there with us. They won't make any basketball tournament. Did we properly stall for you?
Yeah, I got one more. It's a good soccer headline. The Los Angeles Football Club owner, Larry Berg, has predicted that Major League Soccer will surpass the MLB in popularity during the next 10 years. Also, Miami owner, Inter Miami, Jorge Mas, he added that it will be of higher quality than the Premier League or La Liga by 2045.
Okay, well... Okay, so he's giving himself 2045?
Yeah. Apparently, those two guys spoke at the league kickoff event yesterday, 2 days ahead of the start of the MLS's 25th season. So the one guy, Berg, said that it'll pass baseball in the next 10 years as America's number three sport.
I feel like I've been saying that for a long time. But it does feel like there's more soccer fans now than ever before. So it has been growing, I feel like.
And are there fewer baseball fans than ever before?
Close, right?
Yeah, I mean, he said in the next 10 years, and I know one of the problems that baseball is worried about is the older generation dying off, you know?
Cam, right now, do you like soccer or baseball more, or neither?
I would prefer soccer, personally.
Do you prefer soccer? Yeah. Cody? Baseball, soccer?
Baseball.
I think right now I probably still give the edge to baseball, but my soccer fandom, I do enjoy watching the games. Especially when you're just looking at the MLS, he's saying the MLS is going to be bigger. I don't have an MLS team. Maybe Nashville will captivate me. I don't know. But right now I still feel more connected to baseball. That could change over the decade. Especially younger people growing up. I would say most people in high school probably prefer soccer to baseball, unless they play baseball.
As someone who's been to each professional sporting event in the last year, I gotta say baseball was a better experience.
Which team did you go see for
soccer? You always talked about the Atlanta United experience being so good.
It was good, but going to the Dodgers game was cooler to me personally. They were both cool. And like if you're just talking like crowd, like, the MLS was way cooler crowd-wise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're doing their chants and stuff. Like, baseball, everybody's just at the baseball park. You know, it's a laid-back atmosphere. But I preferred the Dodgers experience over the Atlanta United. But Atlanta United was cool. I'm not dogging it.
Yeah, I had a blast at the Atlanta United game I went to. Like, it was awesome.
It's a pretty
powerful environment with how intense they get into the games.
Yeah. And we were up in that area where they just let you stand around and drink beer.
Yeah.
Like, it's, they got like a whole area where you just, it's like general admission, basically.
Yep.
And you can just go lean up on the rail, watch the game, and drink beer. Like, it was nice. It was a lot of fun. I still like the baseball game, though. Like, the, just the atmosphere was, I don't know, maybe it's the nostalgia of like Dodger Stadium, you know.
But if you're going for a more relaxed thing, definitely baseball, too. Yeah. You can have a good time while being, you know, more laid back, also.
They were both cool. Both pretty cool. I go baseball, though, still. I prefer baseball a little bit.
Okay.
I've gotten into baseball more, you know.
Sure. Yeah, you are a big fan.
I mean, I'm getting there, you know.
Sure. We'll see if he's right 10 years from now. But I feel, like I said, I feel like we've been saying that about soccer for a while. But it has, you know, been growing. And
yeah.
I mean, the MLS does seem to be better now than it's ever been before. Like, I mean, the excitement around Atlanta. You know, we talked about Nashville selling 50,000 tickets, so it does seem like the MLS is expanding and staying relevant. It's not like they're losing teams. They are growing teams, and that seems to be important.
Which side are you going on, the Miami guy who said by 2045 it'll pass up the Premier League?
That seems really crazy, but...
You're going to say no?
Yeah, I mean, you want to put it on the board or
something? Yeah, put it on the board, Cam. I'm going to go I'm going to go yes. 2045, the MLS will have passed Premier League.
Okay. Go ahead and lock it in, Cam.
Yeah, lock that in.
All right.
I'll be 52. Yeah, 52.
I guess when you put it that way, it doesn't seem that long. That doesn't seem that long away.
It's not too long.
All right, go back to headlines. We'll come back. We'll dive back into that Tom Brady stuff. Look at some combine, some other NFL notes. Big CBA stuff. You had some stars speaking out vehemently against the new CBA. Are we headed for a lockout? We'll talk about it next.
Hi.
Thoughts about Tom Brady on those reports? I mean, I feel like I've said a lot of what I've said before. I don't really have any new takes on Tom Brady to the Titans. Either one of you guys see those reports about Tom Brady leaving New England and have anything interesting or fresh to say?
Do we think that the Titans are the destination team? Is that what it's looking
like? That's what more people keep saying, yeah.
I mean, it's looking like he may not be back with the Patriots. That's what the kind of consensus is. Now, are we immediately assuming that that means Brady to the Titans? Or
I don't know. We had the update yesterday from John Robinson, where he basically was just kind of like, "Yeah, we're going to do what we can, or we'll see what we can do with Ryan Tannehill."
You also had Bruce Arians saying that. He would be
interested
in a Brady or a Rivers type.
Sure. And maybe Brady would look at that and say, Tampa, they got a pretty good roster. They got good receivers. I mean, they got the best receivers in the league, right? I mean, we still feel that way about Tampa, correct?
I mean, between Godwin and Evans, I'd take those two guys.
Yeah. We're taking, I mean, even, was it Perriman? Was that the third guy?
I don't know.
Perriman was a really good third guy, too, so. I mean, I don't know what his contract situation is, but they had three really good receivers.
Mike Allstott. Bruiser.
He is not there anymore. He was not a wide receiver.
No, I know he's not a wide receiver, but talk about a bruiser.
He was a bruiser. That is correct.
That guy.
He was a bruiser.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Philip Rivers has already moved his family down there. So, I mean, if you're Bruce Arians, are you really going to let Philip Rivers move his family all the way to your state?
I don't think you're really worried about it if you're Bruce Arians.
Not call him in?
Nah, I don't think you're worried about what Philip Rivers does. I don't think they're overly concerned about that.
Tennessee Tom. TB Tom. TB Tennessee. Tennessee 12.
Omar Kelly, who, you know, I don't really take him. I don't really think he's that smart. He is an ESPN reporter, though, covers the Dolphins, covers the AFC East. He says the latest word about the Patriots are that they are gearing up for a complete rebuild, that they're going to have a youth movement and revamp. Also says the latest word about these quarterbacks he's hearing, Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay, Teddy Bridgewater, Los Angeles. I would assume that means they are talking about the Chargers. If you're Tyrod Taylor, you're like, damn it. Damn it. I mean, if you want a black quarterback who won't take chances with the ball, like, here I am. Here I am. Give me a chance. Phillip Rivers, Indianapolis, Ryan Tannehill, New England, Tom Brady, Tennessee. That's what Omar Kelly says is the latest talk about these NFL quarterbacks. Which one would be the most intriguing, Cam? Jameis stays put in Tampa, Teddy to the Chargers, Tannehill to the Patriots, Rivers to the Colts, Brady to Tennessee.
I'd probably go Teddy. Because I think the Chargers like still have a really good roster out there. It's just
okay.
I don't know. Can they get it done? And I mean, Phillip Rivers did have a ton. Like he was playing pretty well. Like he was getting yards, touchdowns, but he also had a ton of turnovers. So
sure.
With a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over as much, will it help them be more efficient and actually win a few more games? So I'm probably leaning that way.
Okay.
I do want to see Jameis with new eyes, though.
Jameis with new eyes? I forgot the new eyes portion of that. Cody, any of those quarterbacks, Brady to Tennessee, Rivers to New England, to the Colts, Tannehill to New England, that's my answer. If the Titans are going to get Tom Brady, I would like to see Tannehill go to New England.
You would like to see that?
Yeah.
Just so that the Patriots are still good? Or
just so that all these idiots in Tennessee that wanted to make that trade so that they can reap what they sow.
So you would hope for bad things for your team just
no,
so people are...
I would hope that Tannehill goes and is successful, though. I want Tannehill to be successful. I have no ill will towards Tannehill. Tannehill's my quarterback. If New England is going to let Tom Brady walk and he wants to go to Tennessee, and it seems as if we are, obsessed with being the Patriots of the South or whatever, so it seems like this is going to happen. I want to see Tannehill go somewhere where he can be successful. And I don't think there's many places that you'd have a better chance of being successful than in New England. Right? I mean, we're not going to throw them out just because Brady leaves, right? We're still going to give them the benefit of the doubt, no? Or are we going to say, they're done for?
I mean, Belichick's getting old, though. I mean, he's going to retire at some point.
Well, he's not retiring next year.
No, not next year, but I mean, he's
I want whoever goes play quarterback for New England to be successful. Which I might regret saying that if they keep winning, but like I kind of...
Is that going to make you feel vindicated against Tom Brady?
No, I don't need to feel vindicated against Tom Brady.
Well, why do you want
the it made me feel vindicated this year about Tom Brady. I don't think it'll be like a snapshot of his career or anything like that. I won't be able to say, like, I won't go back and say, see, told you he's a system quarterback. I'm not going to do that. But it makes me, look, I mean, I'm just confused. Everyone in the NFL gives the Patriots the credit for being the smartest team. Yet we're getting all these reports about how the Patriots don't want Tom Brady. And yet we're supposed to be excited about these other teams lining up to take their scraps. Like, usually if the smartest team says, hey, man, we don't want this guy anymore, usually we look at that and say, oh, well, that's a red flag, he's washed. But we have people lining up saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. So I would like to see the Patriots be right about that.
It would mean more success for the Patriots.
I think I could be okay with that.
Yeah. I feel like you should root for Brady to be good if the Titans get him.
I'll root for Brady to be good. I'm not going to root against my team.
But you'll kind of be rooting against the people that think it's a good thing. I mean, in a way.
Well, I can root for whatever I want to. I've been rooting for Tennessee basketball, and that hasn't gotten me anywhere. So, I mean, rooting for something.
I know. I'm just wondering which one you're rooting for
most. I would rather
most.
My team be good than I be right.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
But I don't think my team would be as good, and, being right would be a decent consolation, I guess, but it would be a pretty hollow consolation. Like, I don't know. was down on Butch Jones for a while. Like, did I feel smarter at the end of it? Sure, I felt smarter than most people. But did I feel happy? No, probably not. I would much rather Tennessee just won football games, you know what I mean? Kind of similar to that.
With Butch Jones?
Yeah, just win. Like, it'd be happier. I'd be happier.
Mm-hmm.
I would sacrifice some pride there. Like, I even let people try to make me think that I was wrong about Rick Barnes last year so I could be happy and enjoy the ride. Turns out, wasn't wrong about Rick Barnes after all. Kind of nailed exactly what he was going to do here.
I don't know. Next year, I mean, could be a Final Four team.
So far, we got 5 years and one Sweet 16. It's pretty much what I said it was going to be.
I don't know. People are saying Final Four next year.
Yeah, we'll see if he can prove me wrong in year six. But through 5 years, 5 years, one Sweet 16. Those are just the facts.
Those are facts. And a second round appearance.
Would I have rather made the Final Four and been wrong? Dead wrong about Rick Barnes? Yes. Yes. It's going to be a similar situation to that where I'm sitting here saying we shouldn't have let Tannehill walk for Brady. I'll root for Brady to win a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I'll be rooting for it.
So if Brady goes to the Titans, you'll root for the Titans?
Mm-hmm. I will.
That's even more reason that I don't want him to go to the Titans.
I know.
There's going to be nothing worse than if he goes there and is not good. I will be insufferable. And I will be miserable at the same time.
What will
miserable
you do?
Miserable and insufferable. Much like I felt like at the collapse. Whenever we sucked in 2015 at the beginning of the year. And in football, whenever you know Butch Jones ran us into the ground in 2017. It'll just be a familiar feeling.
How will you deal with it?
What do you think? I don't know. It'll just be miserable. It'll be a lot of I told you so's, but they'll be they won't be the fun I told you so's. It'll be the really sad, crying I told you so's. Because I don't want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. How will you cope? Will you turn?
Probably just watching more Red Zone.
Yeah, more Red Zone.
Yeah. But we'll be relevant. We'll be relevant. We'll be on TV. People will talk about us, so I guess we got that going for us. But let's get to some CBA talk after the break because you had some stars speaking out. You know, the NFL is going through this labor negotiation right now. That's, you know, getting ready to start affecting free agency. Without the CBA change, the Titans have been affected. The thought process was if this new CBA got ratified, teams would no longer have two franchise tags. They would only have one. But for now, until this is ratified for a couple days or a couple weeks or a month or so, or I don't know how long, teams still have two, which would potentially help the Titans with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, which would help America's team, formerly America's team, before the Titans run in the playoffs. The Cowboys, maybe they could franchise tag Dak and transition tag Amari and at least get compensated if Amari gets signed somewhere else. So this is a pretty big deal. And then you had some stars speaking out altogether about, hey, guys, we don't need to play football right now. We got to stand up for the league and the players for the next decade, not just this year. We'll get into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Citizens National.
Keeping an eye on this Tom Brady stuff. We got 2 weeks, I guess, before free agency really gets off and running. But so there'll be a lot of new speculation, a lot of new reports that aren't really saying anything. I simply say that Tennessee will have to go out and completely change their offense if they sign Tom Brady. They would have to go and find some new offensive linemen, teach them how to pass block better because they weren't very good at that last year. But ultimately, I do want to go on record. I am pro Ryan Tannehill, and wherever he goes, I will root for him because I think that he deserves happiness, even if it's not with me.
What if he goes to the Colts?
Then he can go to hell.
But anywhere else?
Anywhere besides the Colts. Jaguars.
Or Jags, Texans.
I mean, let's go to the Texans and take Deshaun Watson's place. I guess I'll...
They're good.
Yeah. Jags, he can also go to hell. But he's a Florida guy, so maybe I'd be like, oh, okay, I get it. No,
but he not go to hell as much as the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts would be the number one that made me mad.
Yeah.
Well, what if he went to the Patriots?
Anywhere besides the Colts is fine with me.
Well, what if he went to the Patriots, though, and then it led to them beating the Titans?
I would just say you idiots got what you wanted.
But, I mean, let's say it comes down to like an AFC championship and it's Tennessee Tom against New England Ryan.
Then I would take Bill Belichick to win that game.
Obviously, you're pulling for your team.
Right, but I would have to. If there's one thing I can do, Cody, it's not be biased when I'm talking about my teams and the Titans. I just tell the facts. I speak the truth about the team. For the most part, what I say is going to happen happens when I talk about my Titans.
Oh yeah,
I'm very level-headed about them, and I would have to just admit, despite me wanting to win this game, I have a bad feeling that the Patriots would be victorious.
So you'd take Belichick and Tannehill definitely over Vrabel and Brady?
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, because you get Tannehill up there, and then if you have the Belichick effect with him, I mean, that's.
So we'll see what happens, but again, whatever. We might not even be playing football next year. There might be a lockout coming because this CBA meeting.
Oh.
4 years.
I never buy those things. I know what happened in the NBA, but surely to God, not the NFL. It
happened in baseball, too, for a full year.
Would it happen in the NFL with all that?
I don't think so, because there's so much money to be made, but it has happened before. The NBA lost what, Cam? 30 games, 32 games? What was the 2011-2012 season? Like 50 games, I want to say?
Yeah, I think that's
maybe
right.
Maybe 52, but I think it was just 50. So you lost 32 games there. 1994, I believe, baseball had their strike for a full season, so it has happened.
Yeah, 161-day lockout for the NBA.
Does it say how many games they played? I want to say it was 50. But the NFL Management Council Executive Committee and the NFL Players Association had a four-hour meeting on Wednesday, which then led to some players coming out basically saying, we can't budge on this. You had Russell Wilson say, we should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. He votes no. You had the Pouncey Twins. I don't know which one it was. I think it was the one from the Steelers. Marquise basically saying, hey, look, we are a brotherhood. I know that some of the younger players that don't make a lot of money aren't really geared up for a lockout. Vets, you have to hold these guys down. You have to be willing to help them and help them pay the rent, give them some loans, take care of each other, because this is bigger than just you or me. This is for everybody. We have to hold down the future generation. We have to do what's best for ourselves. We can't let them squeeze us and drain us because we can't hold up on our money. Which I thought was a really crazy message, that you had a leader like one of the Pouncey Twins coming out and not only saying he votes no and saying to stand firm, but it was basically like calling on the people with money, basically to be like, hey, socialism, take care of your people, give them money, help hold them down. They might not make as much money as you. They might be mad and pushing you to vote yes so that they don't miss game checks. Well, you have to help them until we get what we want, because you know, the NFL can say what they want about leverage. I don't think they could all of a sudden run out replacement players and be okay. I don't think they could run out some scabs and some replacement players and do the same ratings. I know we love our football, but we don't love it that much, as you see with the XFL. Right? I mean, that's essentially the type of quality player they would have. We like it. 2 million people watch it. And more people might watch it if their team allegiance is tied to it, but it ain't going to do the same. It ain't going to do the same numbers. It ain't going to be the same quality. The stadium, you know, is already dealing with attendance declining. That would go even further down if you didn't have good players. Are you geared up for a lockout, Cody?
No.
Are you nervous?
No, I absolutely would not be prepared for a lockout. I don't think it'll ever happen.
You don't think it'll ever happen?
No. Is it kind of like a government lockout? Or what do they call that?
Shutdown.
Shutdown. It's kind of like that, I guess. I guess it happened in the government.
Yeah.
And the NBA and the MLB. But I think the NFL's above those other three entities.
The NBA and NHL gets 50%. MLB gets 48, 52%. The NFL right now is trying to give the players 48% with the chance to get 48.5% depending on TV money. Seems as if the players want a 50-50 split like the NBA and NHL gets. That's just with the revenue split. There's more things they want to have fixed. They want to have the weed test taken off. They want to be able to smoke their weed. Allen Robinson wants the franchise tag off, which does seem like it would really help players. I don't think franchises are ever going to go for just removing the franchise tag because you can't have your quarterbacks leaving. But maybe they get rid of the transition tag and only have one. Aaron Rodgers spoke up and said we need to get some language in there that basically lets us have more free time. Basically like, hey, we need more time to be away from the team, away from the game, to enjoy life.
And smoke weed.
The NFL, apparently the only concession they've made so far is that there would no longer be a cap of $250,000 on the 17th game. That doesn't affect a lot of players, but there are some high-paid players whose game check is usually more than $250,000. They will no longer have to give up that money. They will get their official game check. The NFL has made that concession. It doesn't seem like they're very close on where they're currently at. Now, this is just negotiation. You know, you come back and you keep negotiating until you find a happy medium that makes both of you upset, because that's what makes a good negotiation, right? When both parties leave, like, eh, kind of got screwed here.
That's what Larry David said.
Kind of got screwed here.
Larry said that in Curb.
I feel like many people have said that.
If both parties leave unhappy, it's a good compromise.
I think he was quoting somebody else who had already said that. I think that was what he said in the show, was like, to quote so-and-so, good compromise leaves both parties unhappy.
I'm going to attribute it to him.
That's fine. That's where you learned it.
Yeah.
He learned it from somewhere else, but you learned it there.
Probably. I'm sure whoever wrote it probably learned it from somewhere. Well, he probably wrote it. Did he write Curb?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he wrote Seinfeld, so it would check out that he would write.
There's other writers on there, but yeah.
Yeah, he's the main writer of his show about his life.
Did you guys watch Maurkice Pouncey's video? Did you guys see that rant he went on about the lockout?
Nope.
I did not, but now I want to watch it.
It's just him looking in a camera, cutting a promo. He said, and if any player on any of our teams, if y'all are hurting for rent money or anything while we're going through this lockout, call us. Man, we've got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the bleep up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let you down. Trust and believe. So basically like, hey, we're better equipped than pretty much any athletes ever to sustain a lockout. Or at least any NFL players to withstand this negotiation, because we got tens and tens of millions of dollars. Back in the day, you didn't have those contracts. Vets on your team, your highest paid vets, all make a lot of money, life-changing money, generational money.
If I remember right, Richard Sherman had a quote in 2018 where he said for sure there was going to be a lockout in 2021. So
yeah.
I think they're already, planning for this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like because it's just the NFL is getting set to just get so much new money that and then you add in, this was just with the TV negotiating deals. This is like, there's just going to be so much new money brought in just from legalized gambling that the league's going to get a cut of, right? Like, the league gets a cut of having gambling sponsors and allowing them to, promote their games. Players wanted that, and that was before the 17th game even became a real thing. Now, granted, it's been rumored and talked about for a couple years, but you look around, and now, like, the owners are basically like, no, we're getting a 17th game. And not only are we getting a 17th game, we're also going to add two more playoff games that we're going to sell to TV people and make a whole lot of extra money. So, yeah, like, how do you divvy up this $400 or $500 million? The owners are like, yeah, here's your normal 47. Actually, we'll give you 48% this time. And the players are like, no, no, playboy, come up off two more of those percents. To quote the great Bernie Mac, half.
It's from Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Half.
And he just keeps negotiating the other way.
Half.
He's like
49.5%. Or 49%.
Yeah, it goes from like 40 to...
He went a third, and it went up to... It just kept going up a half. And then he looks at, he's like, 49%, that's F. And then finally, Billy Bob's just like, what's one more percent?
What's one more? Great movie.
I bought that recently at McKay's. That way I don't have to rely on the cable networks to show it around Christmas.
You still buy movies?
No, but I went and bought 6 or 7 from McKay's last weekend.
DVDs?
Yep. Just my favorites. I went with just mostly my favorites to have.
Yeah.
That way I'll always have something to watch at the house. Tells you a little bit about yourself, you know, to people that would come visit or whatever.
You have a DVD player?
I got an Xbox. Yeah. I used to have a DVD player, but it's, I don't know where it's at. I just, if I play them, I have a Xbox.
I gotcha. I don't think I've played a DVD in forever.
After that meeting when the elf talks about how dumb Bernie Mac is, and Billy Bob goes, "Oh really? Is that how you got the upper hand on him?" Makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
"Oh really? Is that how you got the upper hand on him in those negotiations?"
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Great
film.
Movie. Yeah. Great movie. So yeah, they are adding so much extra money to this. And they want to give 1 more percent, maybe 1.5% if everything goes well. And the players are like, "No, we need 50%. But it's not all just money. Aaron Rodgers says, "My decision to vote no is based off the conversations I've had with the men in my locker room that I'm asked to represent. This deal will affect every player that ever plays this game. And we have made this decision with only an abbreviated version of the deal. And that isn't good enough. Although I do see that there are many good things in the proposal that improve the lives and care for past, present, and future players, there are issues with others. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the, quote, added benefits and had nothing to do with positive feedback received about any extra risks involved with the added game." He also talked about how they would have had an extra game this year because they would have lost the 2 seed bye, and they would have had an extra game there. And really, it's crazy to me when you break down the numbers and see how much money those players make from playoff games. You guys see those numbers like this year?
I did not.
Like, I mean, basically, like, amount. Players are only making like $35,000 for the first round of the games. Then it goes up to like 50 and 60. Like, if you keep winning, you get a little bit more. But, like, you are, if you're like a high paid player, if you're Aaron Rodgers, your game check probably goes from like $400,000 down to like $35,000.
It's like, I mean, they're basically giving you a pretty nice, like, Nissan Maxima for playing a playoff game.
Right. I mean, I know, but I mean,
it's not bad.
It's kind of bad when it's like a...
That's actually more than a Nissan Maxima. That's probably more like a Lexus.
A Lexus for $35,000?
Low-end Lexus, maybe.
The Lexus that you'd be better off not buying, just, like, don't buy the cheap Lexus because it's just going to be way too expensive to upkeep.
Yeah.
And you're just paying for the logo, and you're not getting
the
car you want.
That's like a maybe like a standard Tahoe.
Okay. I would have thought the Tahoes were a little bit more expensive.
They might
be.
They might be. Maybe not a new one. That's like a 2017 Tahoe, probably.
Okay.
I mean, 35
grand. I think it's a pretty big drop-off if you're one of the high-paid players and you're making, you know, $400,000 on your game check, and then all of a sudden they're asking you to play for $35,000. But whatever. It's an extra game. There are also many issues raised about the workplace, the workload, and off-season program. Some have been addressed while others have not. With an added extra game to the schedule, added risk, and longer stretches before and after the bye, we felt it was important to address adding more off-season recovery time. The ideas discussed would not add cost for teams. If anything, it would lessen them. Basically goes on to say, "My involvement as a player rep and a 15-year player in this great game allows me this platform to share my opinion. But at the same time, it requires me to speak on the behalf of the sentiment I hear from my teammates." And basically says he will continue to talk to his teammates, and they will respect the Democratic vote. Because they're going to let this go out to vote with every player. So you saw the high-paid guys like Russell Wilson and Marquise Pouncey and Aaron Rodgers basically come out and say, "Hey, young guys who are making the vet minimum," which a lot of these guys do make the minimum. On an NFL roster, there are only – you know, a handful of high-paid players, right? The distribution of wealth is just, it's tough to comprehend unless you're there in the front lines. You got the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Russell Wilsons of the world. They make all the money. They're the top 1%. Meanwhile, you got the rookie veterans, or the rookies, excuse me, playing on the minimum. You got the veterans just trying to hang on the practice squad. Maybe get a game check here or there. And there's just a real disconnect in that locker room when you look at the bank accounts.
That's ridiculous, Bernie. It's ridiculous.
Who was that?
That's Joe Biden.
I didn't feel like that.
Sometimes I can't remember what I'm trying to get out, but that's what I'm trying to get out. I'm going to talk really loud about it, Bernie.
You forgot to remind me that you've done this before.
I was Barack Obama's vice president.
I have made a lot of money before, and I also didn't make much money at all. That was what Biden was talking about. One thing we talking about, he made $40,000 as a congressman or something, and everyone's like, "Yeah, dude, that was like equivalent of like $1 million back then."
And then you've got Mayor Pete, who's just kind of, you know, doing his thing. As the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, I had a vision.
I went through and watched the debate last night, and there's a whole lot of Biden just condescendingly asking the moderator.
He's so mad.
Can I speak? Can I talk?
I don't know why I stopped. Nobody else does.
Between him and Klobuchar, they were both just like so miffed the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Amy Klobuchar.
So they're going to let everybody vote, and you've seen the people with a lot of money trying to get the younger players to stay firm. We'll see what happens. We'll see if this gets changed, but you have seen, you know, the process isn't going smoothly for the new CBA. We might be headed for a lockout. We'll see how the players stand up. You have yet to see a high-profile player come out and say, you know what, I support it. Right, have you seen any high-dollar players say they like it?
Nope.
Richard Sherman said, health and wellness of our men is always the most important. There's no price you can put on that, and that's why I voted no. These players feel like these players feel very strongly about the 17th game. If they pulled the fans, I mean, I vote no on the 17th game as well. If they're going to pull us, I vote no as well. Do we get a vote?
No. Absolutely.
Well, that would
not
be my vote. No.
Maybe the players should just. Maybe they should just remove like the second string, and then that way the distribution of wealth can be split with higher amounts going to the first team players, and they just play the whole game.
I don't know if they can do that though, especially if you play 17 games.
That's the
crazy part. Is like if you add the 17th game, you actually are going to need more people to distribute the wealth with.
It's going to be added wear and tear.
And they're only for sure. From what I've seen, they're only adding one roster spot in this proposal, and it was basically an offensive lineman. And it was basically the wording of it just made it sound like you get one additional offensive lineman, which basically meant you guys can carry a long snapper and it'll no longer count against like your active roster. It's basically what it seemed like.
I feel like I could do a pretty good Mayor Pete with some practice.
You're getting good at the Bernie.
Thank you. I like it.
Thanks. Feels good.
You feeling the burn?
No, I do find him to be the most entertaining when I watch the debates.
Yeah.
I do find him to be the most entertaining. Of those candidates, I probably do like Bernie the most.
Can you do an Elizabeth Warren?
No.
My daddy was a farmer, and we grew up in a poor area. I was a school teacher.
She had to leave when she was 21 because
she
got pregnant.
She just kind of descends when she's talking, kind of like this.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad.
It'd be easier to do if I was a woman probably, but
I thought Bloomberg's he had a couple of instances where he tried to make a joke, but I don't feel like really landed.
Bloomberg just sounds
talking about how you can't run the country like you run New York City or else you would have a naked cowboy in every city.
I was like, what is that?
No one really laughed about that. No.
I think he's actually one of those lizard people.
He had another one where he was talking about he was surprised his opponent showed up because he had beat him so bad last time, and everyone's just kind of like, what are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, like that was not the consensus coming out of that debate.
Just a couple of attempts at humor that did not go well. It's happened before. It happened to us. Yeah. Sometimes we try to be funny, and we're not funny. It happens, Bloomberg. No slander.
Can't hit on everything.
You can't. Got to hit every now and then, though. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. We shall return on the other side.